Welcome to the What Bitcoin Did podcast.
Hello there. How are you all? Welcome to the What Bitcoin Did podcast, brought to you by Kraken, the best place to buy, sell, and trade digital currencies. I'm your host, Peter McCormack, and today I've got a special show with Max and Roman from HODL HODL, where they have an announcement they want to make. But before that, I've got a message from my show sponsors, and I'm going to do all three ads at the front now, so we can then just run the show in its entirety. So firstly, let's talk about BlockFi, wealth management with your crypto. You can earn interest, borrow USD, grow your wealth, and do more with your crypto. They currently have two products for you to check out. They've got crypto-backed loans, and they've got their new crypto interest accounts, a product that I'm trying out right now. If you're interested in finding out more, head over to BlockFi.com, which is BlockFi.com. That is BlockFi.com, which is BlockFi.com. And also, let's talk about Kraken, the single best exchange for buying and selling Bitcoin in the world. They've got over 4 million clients, and with over 140 billion traded since 2011, they know what they're doing. They've got 20 assets with up to 5x leverage. They've got 24/7 live chat support, and they've also got a huge focus on security, something which I really appreciate about the company and about the exchange. They're making it the safest place to buy and sell digital currencies. Kraken is the only place I buy and sell Bitcoin now. So join me in supporting them, the best crypto asset exchange in the world. Head over to Kraken.com, which is Kraken.com. That is Kraken.com, which is Kraken.com. And then Dropbit, my new sponsor, the coolest and easiest to use mobile Bitcoin wallet available. The app has amazing UX, and I've already sent out close to $1,500 with it. I'm going to keep doing that. They are making it super easy to send and receive Bitcoin from person to person. All you have to do is scan a code, paste an address, or select from your contacts. And they've got so much other cool stuff coming soon. They're making Bitcoin really easy to use. If you want to check them out, they're available for the iPhone and Android. Just head over to dropbit.app, which is dropbit.app. That is dropbit.app, which is dropbit.app. Okay, so on to my interview with Max and Roman from HODL HODL. I'm not going to say too much about it up front. I just want to let you hear what they've got to say. And also, this is the second show in 2 days. Liverpool playing later, so I just want to get this out. But it isn't just an announcement. We do also talk about the history of HODL HODL and how it works. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the show. If you've got any questions about it, feel free to email me on hello@whatbitcoindid.com. And I just want to say a big thank you to Max and Roman, who wanted to make their announcement on my show. Very cool. How are you guys? How is everything at HODL HODL?
Well, we are great. We are developing interesting stuff. And I think Roma can say a bit more about what's coming on, because he's a technical guy. I'm just one of the stupid business developers, nothing special.
Okay, yeah, I have a few things to say about what's going on at HODL HODL right now. As you probably know, we announced Predictions, which is a project that we are about to release in May, that will allow people to create prediction contracts and, you know, hedge their risks using Bitcoin. And it really is described very well in the blog post that we made on Medium. We can probably, provide a link for your listeners to read this post. So I'm not going to go into details about that. But I also wanted to mention that's one of the big announcements that we wanted to make on your podcast. Predictions was sort of, it was only one project that we were working on, one sub-project. And the other one that is truly really exciting to us and hopefully to the community as well, we've been working on Lightning Network integration with HODL HODL. And we are also set to release that in May. The first week of May, it's going to hit our testnet version of the exchange, so people can, you know, get used to it and learn how it works. Although there's not a lot to learn, the workflow is going to be pretty much the same, except that we are going to have a separate offer list for Lightning, and the site is going to look slightly different if you hit the switcher. There you'll see all the Lightning Network offers to exchange Bitcoins into fiat and back. So that's the big announcement.
All right. Well, that's really cool. Very cool. Look, there's loads to dig into, though. So can we do a bit of a background first? Because I'm obviously aware of you guys. I'm aware of your amazing conference. But I've never used HODL HODL as a service. It hasn't been something that I've ever required. But I'm aware of it. Like, I've clicked around it. It just doesn't fit into my requirements. But I don't really buy or sell that much Bitcoin anyway. But so can we dig into the background? Firstly, can you just tell people the background to HODL HODL, you know, how it came to be, and the reason you created it, etc.?
The story is quite interesting. We met each other in the end of 2015 when we started to work on in a company which were developing Bitcoin software solutions. And we actually, we've been kind of forced to use local Bitcoins or other peer-to-peer exchanges at that time. Well, mostly it was local Bitcoins. And at some point, we actually understood that the local Bitcoins is, first of all, they're centrally holding the coins, although stating that they're pure peer-to-peer, because all trades that happens on local Bitcoins happens within their wallets. So literally, you need to fund your wallet on local Bitcoins, and then you can trade in peer-to-peer manner with other people. So they were storing the coins, processing the coins, yet they weren't doing any KYC AML. So we thought that at some point they will start doing this, because they're literally, there's no difference between them and any other centralized exchange. And yet this year they've started to imply KYC AML on their clients. So, and the second important part was that it was a bit difficult, to be honest, in terms of user experience, because we both had unpleasant first experience with local Bitcoins. Roman almost lost his money during the first trade, and I spent 5 or 6 hours to actually understand the workflow of local Bitcoins. Although, for a person who is like entering the website and willing to buy his first Bitcoin, it's even more complicated, because I had some background at least. And so we came up with the idea of creating non-custodial, easy to use exchange which will not imply KYC AML, which is HODL HODL. And what I usually say, we're not trying to like say that local Bitcoins are bad and something like that. No, they're great, because literally guys created peer-to-peer market. Wasn't there before local Bitcoins. But at some point we understood that they're a bit complicated, unsecured, and there will be consequences in terms that they will imply KYC AML at some point. Now, maybe Roma can continue and say how the trades are happening on HODL HODL. What's the difference?
Right. So we try to stay as close to local Bitcoins as possible in terms of the workflow, but at the same time, improve the UI. And I understand, like, anybody can say, you know, our UI is better. But it is. And, you know, the traders on our exchange, they always tell us, yeah, guys, you're easier to use in local Bitcoins, which is great. But I think one of the most important features, as Max mentioned, is that we do not store Bitcoins in our own wallet. It's locked in multi-sig escrow. 2 out of 3 keys are required to unlock funds from escrow. And we also don't have KYC AML, because we are not a money transmitter, right? And we rightly assumed back then that at some point, all peer-to-peer exchanges that store Bitcoins, be it local Bitcoins or Paxful, are going to implement KYC AML. And that's exactly what they did. And also, we rightfully assumed that we would be much safer in not holding the Bitcoins in our own wallet, because, you know, we are less susceptible to being hacked. And also, we are much less of a honeypot for potential hackers who want to steal the Bitcoins. And, you know, just recently, Local Bitcoins was hacked. Luckily, not a lot of people lost their money. In fact, like maybe 5 users, I think, were compromised. But still, it's an interesting incident that just shows how inherently insecure centralized exchanges are.
Right. So when an exchange is created, where are the coins held?
They are locked in multi-sig escrow. It's a special P2SH Bitcoin address. And to unlock funds, to unlock Bitcoins from this address, you need 2 keys, 2 out of 3 keys. 1 key belongs to the seller. The other key belongs to the buyer. And the 3rd key belongs to HODL. So in case of a dispute, we are able to resolve the dispute and send money to either the buyer or the seller. But the Bitcoins are not in our wallet, right? We generate this multi-sig address based on the private keys that are also generated on the front-end side for both buyer and the seller in the browser, right? And we do not store their private keys at all. So we are not able to send Bitcoins anywhere without the permission of either buyer or seller.
Yeah, and what's important is to mention that, because you know some people that are less they're less sophisticated and they know a bit less. The important thing is to mention that we generate this multi-sig address on the public Bitcoin's blockchain. So literally, we don't do that within our storage or wallets. We don't have that. We generate it on the public Bitcoin blockchain. During the trade, you can easily use any blockchain explorer to see that it was uniquely generated for a specific trade. You can see the cash flow. You can see the incoming transaction on this escrow, and you can see the outgoing transaction on this escrow. So literally, we just provide technical solutions for traders.
So really, it's a reputation-based system then?
Yes, we have a reputation system. We have a rating system. We have a score system. So it's literally the same. You don't need to create a bicycle here, you know, and figure out some mumbo jumbo. It's similar to what other peer-to-peer exchanges have. So you have feedback, you have a rating, you have et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And also, one important thing to mention, you can actually import your reputation from both Local Bitcoins and Paxful. If you have reputation there, but you don't have it on HODL, it's easy to transfer it to HODL.
Yeah, at some point we understood that we're quite young, and we thought we should allow people to import their history from Local Bitcoins and Paxful to our website so that other traders can see that they're reputable and good traders.
Just to a small correction, it's not importing history, right?
It's important. Yeah, but it's just linking the accounts on Local Bitcoins and Paxful with HODL. So you can just check it out and see and understand that this account belongs to a real person who had a history of trades on any other peer-to-peer exchange.
Are there any limits on the size of the trades you can do when you first sign up?
Yeah, we have a limit. Actually, we have a like limit level. Why we do that? Because we don't, again, you don't have any reputation. You don't have any ratings. You are new to our website. You're new to our platform. You are new to our customers. So we don't want anyone to scam our traders. So there are limits. There are levels. I think the first... you cannot go bigger than 0.5 BTC. So you can buy and sell half of BTC for a first couple of trades. If you finish successfully those trades, then we raise the limits. Also, you can pass the KYC AML verification, but it's an optional thing. It's not like we don't request that. If you will pass KYC AML on our platform, then we will raise limits significantly. Why we do that? Because we will understand who you are, and in case of a dispute, it will be way more easier for us to solve it.
But just to sort of elaborate on that, the limits are not actually connected to KYCML, right? KYCML is not required to raise your limits. What is required is a successful history of well-executed trades, and then you can raise your limit and trade more Bitcoins.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so also, you guys are Bitcoiners, right?
Yeah.
And it's a Bitcoin exchange, despite saying it's a cryptocurrency exchange. It's a Bitcoin exchange, but you do allow people to buy in any currency. Therefore, you accept any cryptocurrency as well. Was that a tough decision?
Well, actually, you can use any cryptocurrency as a payment method, the same way you use bank, the same way you use any payment system. So we don't process. The only crypto that we have technical solution for is Bitcoin. So basically, any pair that you trade is always versus Bitcoin, whether you sell or whether you buy. So for us, cryptocurrency on our exchange, cryptocurrency is just a payment method. We don't work with any other altcoins.
Right. In fact, we don't have any technical solution implemented. Like we had Litecoin, we actually removed it because it was a lot of technical debt. We didn't want to bother supporting that. So now we only have Bitcoin as a coin that's clearly integrated into the exchange. Everything else is a payment method, right? Just like you can add and create an offer for euros or dollars or pesos or whatever currency it is, you can add a cryptocurrency and exchange it into Bitcoins. But we do not natively support any of the altcoins.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. You're a Bitcoin exchange, but you do allow the facilitation of payment with anything. You don't have any kind of maximalist view that you can't buy Bitcoin on your exchange with Monero or Litecoin. You're agnostic with how people choose to pay.
Well, I think it's still maximalism because, spend your shitcoins and buy Bitcoin. If we can help you with that, we will happily do that. What's the problem?
Well, have you had any, has anybody ever actually given you any stick back for that?
We had some trolls on Twitter that were saying well, now you're a shitcoin exchange, and we've just explained them because the problem with people who are sometimes saying something that we don't like is usually that they don't do their own research. So he saw that we are for example, we have this crypto to crypto Wednesday when we are adding the liquidity for crypto to crypto offer list. So basically, we promote this through the traders that trade Bitcoin for Monero or for Litecoin or for any other altcoin that exists out there. And someone actually saw that and he mentioned, well, HODL suddenly became shitcoin exchange instead of being true and purely Bitcoin exchange. Well, do the research. Bitcoin is still the base currency for us, and we won't add any other technical solutions for any other cryptocurrency. Why we won't do that? Not only because we are ideology, it's in the contrary with our ideas, something like that. No, it's also the security threats. It's also the security risk because we saw that, for example, with Binance. If you add any extra shit coins, it's basically the security threat. It's a risk because you don't know, or it's not so good, the code. So it's easier, it's better, and in terms of liquidity, it's way more profitable to work with Bitcoin.
Yeah. Okay, so let me talk to you about the KYC. You've explained why it's not required because you don't hold the Bitcoin, but I still expect you've come under some pressures, right? Because you are still facilitating the trade.
I'm just going to say a few words before Max continues that. I would expect BitMEX to come under a lot more pressure first. I mean, they're actually holding Bitcoins, and their volumes are just insane, and they don't do any KYC ML at all. So let's look at BitMEX first, and then we'll talk about the pressure that we are about to experience. I don't know. Maybe Max can add something.
Yeah, we always have a plan B for any case. And we have plan B as well for that. We won't disclose it because, you know, if we will disclose it, then there's no plan, basically. Yeah, we're not facilitating. We're not like processing any coins. Why should we do KYC AML? Because we're just providing technical solution. And even if we will be pushed, then there's always an option. There's always a way to avoid this. And also, as Roma mentioned, there's even bigger exchanges with bigger volumes that are holding centrally the coins. And we think that you should focus on them, not on us.
Oh, well, listen, I think it's relevant to them all. I'm not asking you the question ignoring those. I'm asking you the question because it's still relevant to your business. You know, if you come under pressure, it's still relevant.
Yeah, of course. But if we're not like, we're not pushed at the moment, we don't have any problems with that. If we will be pushed, if we will be like forced, if there will be any regulators that are willing to do something with HODL, we will think about it. For example, we don't offer our services in US. Why? Specifically because we don't do KYC AML and we don't want to deal with Security Exchange Commission or something like that. That's a threat for us. That's a legal threat for us. So
I think in general, there are countries that have a lot more regulatory pressure. And, you know, the US example, is very adamant. Like, most exchanges avoid the US, and I think it's a good call for them, right? If we see regulatory pressure increased in other countries, we'll also consider withdrawing from them, or, you know, providing an alternative solution that does not break any laws in that particular country. But I think, you know, regulatory question is a very tricky one for any Bitcoin business. And nobody has any straight answers to that. And everybody wants to, you know, stay legal and continue working. And that's what we're trying to do. We do not want to compromise our priorities and ideals in terms of not requiring KYC AML and not storing the Bitcoins. And we also don't want to facilitate any illegal activity. So we're just going to try to navigate this in the best way possible.
Yeah, but it's a key principle of yours. You don't want KYC, right? You don't want KYC AML. You guys are big fans of privacy.
Yeah, it's not a question of helping like illegal stuff. It's a question of keeping your privacy and your data with yourself. So it's simple. You know, it's we look at this not as a like banks or regulators look at this. They look at this like, you know, you're facilitating some bad things. Well, you can check it out, the amount of money laundering happening through the banks each year. You know, it's like trillions, gazillions of money, and yet they pay some penalties and they continue their work. So you should fix your own system before you come to fix our system, something like that.
All right. Well, listen, you mentioned before you got quite a big announcement. You're going to be allowing people to use Lightning on HODL. So that was quite a big deal because, you know, Lightning's still early. As you know, I'm doing a Lightning month. I'm interviewing lots of people. I'm learning a lot about it myself. And the more I learn about it, the more I realize how early we are. But you've still said, fuck it, let's go for it. Let's include Lightning on HODL. So can you explain exactly how you're implementing Lightning?
So I'm going to start with why we wanted to implement Lightning on HODL. And one of the reasons is we realized that, you know, transaction fees are at some point going to go up again, and they did. And, you know, this is going to be an ongoing battle, and people don't want to pay high fees for low volume transactions. And the consumer market is there for low volume transactions. Like, if you want to purchase $100 of Bitcoin, mean, you probably don't want to pay $5 in fees, which is what it is right now. And the situation is even worse because we require two transactions. The one transaction is to lock Bitcoins in escrow, and then the other one is to unlock them from escrow and send Bitcoins to the buyer. And that incurs double fees, essentially, right? Which is not ideal in a high fee market. And so we looked at different solutions. One of them was not Lightning. One of them was kind of an internal thing that we wanted to implement. But eventually we realized, okay, you know, here's a very interesting technology. It's very new and untested, but we wanted to explore it with everyone else because everyone's exploring Lightning. But we also realized we needed to provide, like, in order for Lightning to succeed, it needs some liquidity. Right now, there's almost none, right? You cannot exchange Lightning into fiat at all, to my knowledge, at least. And we wanted to be the first peer-to-peer exchange that would provide that functionality. And I think you know, those are the reasons we're doing that. In terms of implementation, it's pretty standard. We probably are going to have another blog post describing exactly how it works, but we are using standard tools and standard software that is currently more or less stable for Lightning. And like I said, we are exploring Lightning along with everybody else in the community. But I also wanted to mention one thing about what Lightning will look like on our exchange. So as I mentioned before, we're going to have separate offer lists for Lightning Network contracts or offers and on-chain Bitcoin offers. And the reason for that is because we realized that for a peer-to-peer exchange, Lightning Network is kind of like an altcoin. It's not exactly like an altcoin. And I know it's not a very popular point of view.
People won't like that.
Yeah, people might not like that. But like I said, we are exploring Lightning. And ultimately, the market is going to decide. What we're going to see whether the price for Lightning Network offers is going to be the same as for on-chain Bitcoin offers. And if it is going to be the same, then clearly there's no difference and Lightning isn't an altcoin. But if we see some deviation, then that means it is there because of the friction involved in getting money, getting Bitcoins out of the Lightning Network and on-chain. And I think there will be some deviation, at least initially, until there's enough liquidity on other exchanges as well. And then maybe we get to a point where Lightning is, in terms of price, pretty much the same as Bitcoin. But that only is going to happen when day trading centralized exchanges are going to allow Lightning deposits. What we're trying to solve right now is the initial liquidity problem. We want people to be able to trade Lightning on Lightning Network because there's a lot of demand for like low volume transactions and contracts.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you said that about Lightning feeling like an altcoin, because I know it's not a popular thing to say, but it kind of does. It kind of does feel like an altcoin pegged to the Bitcoin price because of the fact that it isn't kind of a smooth transition in and out of Lightning. So, for example, I've one of the wallets I was playing with is Blue Wallet. I have my SegWit wallet and I have my Lightning wallet. And the way you move in and out and move from essentially a Bitcoin price with a decimal to then a Lightning price, which is in sats, it definitely does feel like an altcoin. And I know that's really unpopular, but I understand what you're saying.
But also, it's very easy to prove. Like, go talk to any trader on Local Bitcoins or HODL or any other peer-to-peer exchange and try to sell him Lightning Network Bitcoins. I bet you right now the price is going to be different and also very different for the Lightning Network coins. And that's just the reality, because there is definitely a friction in getting Bitcoins out of the Lightning Network and on-chain, and that requires a premium.
Which is kind of counterproductive for something that's meant to be about low fees.
Yeah, but also I think that is going to change. Like I said, when the liquidity is there, when more and more exchanges implement Lightning and allow Lightning deposits, this premium is going to disappear, hopefully. But it will be very hard to predict, really. I think Lightning is exciting. It's a very interesting technology. Low fees in terms of like regular consumer transactions. But yeah, we're just going to have to trust the market and see what happens to it. Because unless everybody's excited about the technology, right? But we really, really need honest, brutally honest market to decide what it is and how it's going to work in the real world.
Also, there has been a bit of pushback with people saying that Lightning isn't necessarily just about low fees, because the fees on the Lightning Network actually are tied to the fees on the base chain. So there is a possibility that if you aren't using Lightning in the most optimum way, you can end up paying more in fees.
I'm not sure I can comment on that. Like, I haven't seen these discussions. I'm going to leave it at that. Not sure.
Well, there's two kind of things there. So firstly, the way that fees are charged on Lightning is different from on the base chain.
Sure.
So on the base chain, it's on sats, but on the Lightning Network, it's more of a proportional fee. So a certain size transfer is actually cheaper on the base chain. But also, if you open and close a channel and make a single Lightning payment on it, you're actually going to pay higher fees because there's two on-chain fees, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not what we expect people to do, really. That's kind of the point. You open a channel and then you keep it, right? So hopefully nobody would be that foolish to open a Lightning channel just to pay one, just to make one transaction on the Lightning Network. But yeah, I think in terms of the fees, the market is going to balance itself. I think Lightning is definitely going to be cheaper. But yeah, we're just going to see. Like I said, for us, Lightning is not like, it's not the only bet that we're making as a company. It's interesting. It's promising. And I hope that it will find its place in the Bitcoin ecosystem. That's why we're working on it and dedicating lots of resources to it. but we're about to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I do like the sound of that being on HODL. And actually, that's probably something I would use over the Bitcoin exchange itself, because I have got Lightning Network Satoshis and I haven't actually ever converted them back to my Bitcoin wallet yet. So I'd be interested to try that out. When's it going to be available?
So on testnet, we are releasing Lightning Network the first week of May. And then it all depends on, you know, how well the testing goes. Hopefully in May, it's going to be live on production. That is mainnet.
Exciting. So what are the challenges you faced integrating Lightning into HODL?
I think the main challenge is that nobody really knew, at least at our company, how it works. And luckily we had connections with like Lightning developers in different companies, and they were very helpful. You know, specifically Lightning Labs and Elizabeth Stark. They were very helpful. And our developers were able to figure it out. And yeah, that's the main challenge, like implementing something that nobody really knows how to work with and all sorts of problems associated with that.
You know, in terms of business development, there's no, at the moment, there's no difficulties in implementing Lightning. So, and even more in terms of for business development, it's, I was cheering from the beginning, we should do that, we should implement, because, you know, we will eventually, we will become the first peer-to-peer exchange that actually not only allows you to fund the balances with the Lightning, but you will be able to do the trades through the Lightning channels. So literally, we will give you an opportunity to trade through the Lightning, if I may say so. So and to trade not only like using atomic swaps or something like that to other crypto. No, you will be able to trade into fiat and back and forth.
How do you handle the multi-sig 203 with Lightning?
There's no multi-sig on Lightning.
Of course.
We figured that we're just going to start in the most simple way possible. That is, we have our own Lightning daemon running and our own channel opened and the funds go through us. But of course, it's still not exactly as holding lots of funds in your own wallet, because they're only there for the lifetime of the contract, And as soon as the contract is completed, the funds go to the buyer. So it's still better than actually holding funds in your own wallet. Although I would admit that it is slightly less secure than our current on-chain implementation of multi-sig contracts. And the other thing, sort of on the same note here, you asked about the challenges. What I'm slightly worried about is whenever you introduce a new stack into your existing stack of technologies, and you know, Lightning Network and all the software that we need to run on our servers is something new and untested, and I'm worried about the potential vulnerabilities and adding additional angles of attack. The same way as, you know, I would be worried about another altcoin being added to our exchange. You know, it just increases the attack surface. And the problem with Lightning is that we haven't had major accidents with it. And I think at some point Lightning will have its stress test. And I hope we will be well prepared for that.
Okay, so before you said about not having KYC because you're not actually holding the funds, you just create a two or three multi-sig of which you hold a single key. But in this instance with Lightning, you are holding the funds.
For a very short amount of time, first of all. And also, like I said, we are going to track the regulatory demands and, you know, all the laws associated with it. And right now, we do not foresee any problem. If something comes along, we're just going to take it step by step and figure it out. I think Lightning as a technology, it is supposed to be more private. And even if we introduce KYC ML, which we definitely will not, I think the point of it, you know, the technology itself will just diminish the value that the regulators would get from any kind of information. And also one important thing I wanted to mention, right now HODL is in compliance with the European privacy law. Max can maybe remind me what it's called, GDPR or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, GDPR. Mm-hmm. So
which requires all websites to securely store user data. And for us, in our case, we only store email and password for the users. So we don't really store any other additional information, no phone numbers, nothing else, right? And introducing KYC ML may actually incur so many additional expenses and may actually break that law, which we don't want to do. So I think right now we are in full compliance with that law and all the other laws. And if regulatory pressure increases in some jurisdictions, well, we're going to have to look at that and come up with a solution.
All right. Well, it sounds pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, actually. I want to have a play with it. I want to see what it's like, because I think it sounds super interesting. And the fact that you're the first to do this, I think, is pretty cool. It might actually end up being a good way to buy liquidity in Lightning, right?
Absolutely.
As you said, it's still early technology, but you know, you need to promote it and you need to develop it. So we hope that this will be like one of the hopefully major steps for Lightning evolution or development in future, because we really like the idea. And hopefully on the practice, it will be even better.
Okay. When are you going to be announcing this publicly?
We are right now. We are announcing it publicly.
Is my episode going to be the public announcement?
Yeah, yeah, your episode will be the first public announcement. Then we will make blog posts. Then we will make a lot of stuff. And yeah, so you are the first mover. You have a first mover advantage, Peter.
Awesome. Well, there are a couple of other things I want to talk to you about, though, while I've got you here. So let's talk about prediction markets, because you mentioned that as well. You're releasing that in May. Can you explain how this is going to work?
Sure. So we are releasing this prediction market in May, as you said. And the point is to allow people to create contracts that claim that a certain event is going to happen and then lock Bitcoins in escrow and wait for a counterparty to do the same. And then when the settlement date arrives, both parties either agree on the outcome and then one party gets paid and the other one, you know, loses the funds that were locked in escrow in favor of the winning party. Or if there's a dispute, then HODL HODL having the third key would interfere and look at the outcome of the event. And I think it kind of sounds really ambiguous, and maybe it's actually a better idea to read the blog post. But one example I like to give to people is, imagine you are a Mongox creditor and you are hoping to get your funds back from Mongox by the end of the year. But that might not necessarily happen due to all the legal complications and the bankruptcy process that is ongoing. And so you would like to maybe create a contract to hedge this risk of not getting your money back from Mongox. And so you create an offer saying, I think that Mongox will not return funds to all the creditors by the end of the year. And I would like to lock one Bitcoin in escrow. And I expect the counterparty to say the opposite, to claim the opposite and lock five Bitcoins in escrow. So the odds are 5-1. If Mongox returns money, you're happy, right? You got the money. You lost this one Bitcoin in favor of the winner, but you hopefully get a lot more Bitcoins back. But if there are complications and nobody gets their money back from Mongox, then you at least have some more money to wait on it longer. So that's one of the examples that I think is that I think would be very valuable as a use case for many, many people. And you know, you don't have to have a vivid imagination to come up with hundreds and hundreds of other examples that are very similar.
Yeah, for example, like Peter, you think that Liverpool will win with Chelsea, and I think that Chelsea will win. So I'm putting 0.5 Bitcoin in that contract, and you're putting 0.5, and we'll see who will win.
I think that's a good deal. I would take that bet.
Okay.
Well, we do not. We intentionally don't use the word bet, and the reason for that is because we truly believe that the instrument that we're building is not betting. It's not gambling. Gambling is all about instant gratification and, you know, impulsive decisions, compulsive decisions, which we would like our users to avoid. In fact, what we are building is something that allows you to hedge your risks, to, you know, be responsible, because it's all on chain, right? At least for now, we are planning to integrate Lightning into that. But the point is, I think there's nothing like it out there. I think Bitcoin can be used for so many more things using smart contracts, 2 out of 3 multi-sig or some other combination. And that's just one use case, prediction contracts, which can be employed for many, many business cases out there, where you know, banks would charge a very high commission, or it wouldn't be possible at all because, you know, one counterparty is, let's say, I don't know, in China, the other counterparty is in South Africa, for example, right? And it's like really hard to do that. So I think to sum this up, we are building this new instrument, new financial instrument that hopefully will be very, very useful to not just Bitcoin users, but or crypto community as a whole, but also to all sorts of businesses that do not necessarily employ Bitcoin at this point, but who might consider doing this.
Okay, so you're obviously going to have restrictions on the kind of markets that people can create. So you've said that they can't contain anything illegal and the conditions cannot be ambiguous. Are you post-reviewing these, or does it require some kind of pre-approval of a market that's created?
We will have a pre-moderation, and as in May, we'll be releasing MVP. So we will see how the market reacts. We already have like preliminary feeling, and the reaction and amount of like requests to use is really high. We've been surprised by the community that the people are really expecting this. And in time, we will definitely create some like additional categories. Like, for example, you want to create offer in cryptocurrency. You are saying that the price of Bitcoin will increase by that. By to 10,000 by the end of May, and you will go to the cryptocurrency section. We will create sections on stocks, commodities, ETFs, whatever. So I think we will divide at some point, but now we just one offer list. So we will see how the market reacts.
And who is the oracle in these prediction markets?
Well, there's always this question, like, who's the oracle? We don't have an oracle, right? The idea is come settlement date, both parties agree on the outcome. If they don't, although it is in their best interest because they want continuous business, they want to continue trading on the platform. But let's say they're not agreeing. Well, we have the third key and we're just going to look at it. But I cannot answer this question of yours, who's the oracle, by saying HODL HODL is an oracle, because it's not true. We are not an oracle in this case. We're not the oracle in this case. And it's going to depend on how well the users are, the counterparties can agree on the outcome. And our expectation is that in most cases, they are incentivized to agree, because what happens if they don't agree? Well, we interfere, and obviously because all offers are pre-moderated and conditions are unambiguous, then it will be very easy for us to determine the outcome.
But I guess in the instance of a dispute, you do perform the role of an oracle.
Well, we kind of perform the role of holder of the third key. And of course, yeah, partially we decide on this dispute, because we have the opportunity to allocate funds whether to one side or to another side. But as Roma mentioned, we're trying to build systems where users decide between them, and there's no incentive for them to break the rules. Mm-hmm. Because if you created an offer where you say that I believe that on 31st of May 2019, the price of Bitcoin at 5 o'clock GMT on Kraken exchange will be more than 7,000 euro, then it's kind of difficult to dispute this, because you have the precise exchange, precise time, precise date, and precise asset on which you are creating this offer. So it's kind of stupid to say that I don't agree and I won't release coins from escrow. It's dumb.
Yeah, I guess there's going to be weird scenarios. Like, so for example, I don't know, say there was a prediction market created on the outcome of some kind of political vote, and then during that process, the vote got cancelled, or one of the people running dies, or something happens that means the vote doesn't happen or the vote has to end. That's a kind of weird scenario where you may have some kind of dispute to deal with.
Yes, of course. And in that case, we would rule to return deposits to both users, most likely. So an example of that, we wouldn't allow a contract that is not binary. Like when you would say, I say that Trump is going to win the 2020 election, and you know, you say that, I don't know, Hillary, if she runs again, is going to win the election, right? And then the third party candidate wins the election. That's this kind of contract will not be allowed. But what will be allowed is to say, I think that Trump wins a 2020 election, and the other person says he won't. But of course, if he's, for example, impeached and he cannot run anymore, then it's an obvious situation where, you know, there's a draw and we just need to return the funds locked in escrow to each counterparty.
Or like in the election with Bush, where there was a legal dispute, if that had have kind of dragged on, that would have been a confusing situation that you would have to deal with, either maybe extend the time limit. I guess you won't really know until it's out there in the wild that there's going to be certain scenarios that you can't predict for, right, that are just going to happen. And that's where you, I guess, you'll learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, one thing to mention is that a dispute is not necessarily a situation where there is a potential dispute is not necessarily an actual dispute where users don't agree. Like, you know, if the Trump example that I gave you, like both users can reasonably agree that, hey, you know what, it's fair that we get our money back and nobody loses anything. And I think that's very likely. And in that case, HoloHolo wouldn't even need to use its third key.
Yeah, and as for me, I actually, we discussed this internally, and I was like insisting, and maybe at some point we will return to that we should actually focus on price of assets, something like that. So where you have like facts and figures, and there's no like other options. So you have a price of Bitcoin at a certain point on a certain exchange. That's it. Or you have a price of crude oil, or you have a price of gold ETF, whatever. So maybe at some point, if we will see that there's a lot of disputes coming in, then we will just allow only certain options and creating offers only in certain categories, like, you know, economical digital assets or like stocks and whatever.
So I wouldn't go as far as to say that, but where he's definitely right is that we are going to have certain templates, right? So people don't need to feel manually like the price of Bitcoin is going to be this and that on this exchange at that time. Like they would just select a template and, you know, quickly fill in the fields with, you know, time and price, and that would be it, right? So they know that this contract is pre-approved by the moderator because you used a template.
It seems like you've come up with a much preferable model than Augur has.
We'd like to think that.
Yeah, we're the much preferable, I believe, that because we use Bitcoin. That's the first one.
Of course, yeah.
So we don't have that that much security risks. That's the first one. And the another one is that we are not trying to decentralize Oracle. So we're not trying to become decentralized, and let's be decentralized in all our aspects. No, we have like, it's like basically it's semi-decentralized, or it's non-custodial prediction platform, because we still believe that at some point there's need for centralized decision maker, you know, the person who will come in and will say, okay, the price was above 7,000 euros. You are trying to cheat. The another guy gets the money. That's it.
Right. Sounds pretty cool. So have you got a launch date for this?
It's probably going to be May as well. So we're launching two things in May. That is Lightning Network and predictions. It's already in private internal testing. And first, we are going to release a public testnet version of predictions, and then it's going to go to the mainnet.
Are you insane launching both in 1 month?
Insane?
Yeah. I mean, you could have easily done one in May and one in June, just get one out. And you're like, no, we're going to do two of our biggest ever product launches both in the same month.
Well, You know, there's a third product launch will be happening some later, not in May, because we want to integrate Lightning into predictions platform. So basically, you will be able to create small offers like for $5 or $5 or €5, whatever. And maybe you will create an offer on the soccer game or football game, like, you know, Chelsea Liverpool or whatever. So that's the third actually thing that will happen at some point. So we will have June and July for that. So it's no worries. We have like a lot of interesting things coming out on our roadmap. But yeah, why we should wait? You know, we have amazing products coming in. So let's release them.
Amazing.
And also, you know, this market, this industry moves really fast, and there's no choice really. We have to do something and, you know, develop products that people actually want. It's the only way to survive. And that's what we're trying to do, trying to provide an amazing service to our customers and do it as fast as possible, but also as securely as possible. And to be honest, you know, we've been working on predictions and Lightning since December. So it's not like we've been rushing these products to the market. It's been a while. We're testing. We're going to do a round of penetration testing on both things before we launch it. So yeah, it's a long process, and hopefully we are very, very close to the release of both products.
And if you're not insane enough, you are also pulling together another amazing conference.
Yes.
So that's the last thing I want to ask you about, because I'm going to be obviously attending this year. I'm very excited about it. I didn't get to go last year. I couldn't go because I had my kids, and I ended up watching the entire live stream and annotating it and posting it up on Twitter. I don't know if you ever saw that. I thought the event was amazing, and I'm really excited to go. But just tell us about the event, why you pulled it together, why you're going to carry on doing it, and any different plans this year, how it'll be different from last year.
Doubt that it will be any different. We will use the same place. We will just have a bigger space, and we will have more one-on-one panels. We will actually have more panels than standalone presentations. Hopefully, there will be a panel which Romo want to have. It's unpopular opinion. Well, where the people will discuss some controversy within the community or within the crypto.
I'm good at those.
Well, Panda is moderating that one. He wanted to do that. First one to claim.
How we came up with the idea? Well, it was 2017, and we were a bit disappointed with all the ICO shit shows and mumbo jumbo that were happening at that time. A lot of people were thinking that the crypto and our industry, everything is about making fast money with white papers and beautiful advisors on your webpage. So at some point we decided we should create an educational event for true Bitcoiners. Some may say that it's maximalist conference. Well, let's think about it as it's maximalist. And actually, if you see HODL, well, Honey Badger was, I think it was, maybe it was the first conference that were 100% focused on Bitcoin. And now we see that there's a lot of conferences coming this year that they're like focusing on Bitcoin as well. Like they're speaking only about Bitcoin. There's no like other altcoins to discuss or something like that. So we tend to think that we're a bit trendsetters in that case. And so also it was like part of our giveaway to community. So we just wanted to thank the community, because, well, we strongly believe, and these are not just words, that community within crypto is amazing. And actually this recent cases and Twitter storms around, for example, HODL now, proved that community is amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, listen, I'm really excited to go to the event. I'm excited to try out your prediction markets. I'm excited to play with Lightning as a peer-to-peer exchange. You've got loads of cool stuff there. I think it's amazing. So also, can I just say thank you for wanting to exclusively reveal that on my podcast? I think that's really cool. So to close out, if people want to keep an eye on what you're doing, how do they do that? How do they get in touch with you? Who do you want to hear from? You know, the mic is open to you.
Well, we use Twitter, like 99% of our communication through Twitter. It's simple, at HODL. I have my own personal Twitter as well, at KDunM. Roma has his own, at Roman Snitko. We also have a Telegram group, which is quite big, for HODL and for Baltic Honey Badger, where people discuss things that are related to exchange or things that are related to conference. And for all the conference attendees, I would strongly suggest to join that group, because people are like discussing some stuff out there. They're like planning some activities. You know, we have people who are offering their tours in Riga or in Latvia, people who are offering accommodation, people who are joining in groups and going to restaurants, pubs, whatever. So just join that group and you will enjoy our conference even more. So
I just want to mention one thing about HODL specifically. A lot of people on Twitter and on Telegram, they say that, hey, you know, I just signed up on the exchange and there are no offers in my country or my city. And they're sort of complaining that there's no liquidity in their particular country or region. And the message I would like to communicate to everybody who is trying to buy or sell Bitcoins using HODL, if you don't see any offers, it doesn't hurt to create one. It doesn't cost you anything. You create an offer, and then, you know, when somebody else sees that offer, they will be able to react and create a contract based on your offer. And in fact, if you create your offer, you have an upper hand in terms of price, and you can maybe have a small premium, and somebody would be happy to buy or sell using your offer. So that's just a message to all of your listeners who are reluctant to try HODL, but are still curious about it.
All right, guys. Well, amazing interview. The stuff you're doing is incredible. I love it. It's brilliant. I'm not close enough to your product, so I think over the next month I will be. Are you going to be out in New York?
No, we're not going to New York, but we are going to Bitcoin conference in San Francisco in June.
Great. Well, we can grab a beer then. But thank you for coming on. Great to talk to you and looking forward to meeting up with you in person.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us here.
Cheers.
Okay, so what did you make of that? That's a pretty cool couple of announcements there. I'm really looking forward to playing with both the prediction market and also trying out their peer-to-peer exchange for Lightning. I think it's going to be a really good on-ramp and off-ramp for Lightning. And also, you know what? I'm really interested in seeing if there's going to be some kind of price differential for Lightning sats when compared to Bitcoin sats. So that's going to be really interesting to see. They've obviously going to have a crazy month in May. Anyway, as I said before, Liverpool are about to play Huddersfield. This is the second show in 2 days, so I just want to go and watch that game and chill out. If you've got any questions about the show, feel free to reach out to me. My email address is hello@whatbitcoindid.com.